Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you join us on Let's Face the Issues. And we look forward to your dialogue and discussion on the issue of the day. You can have that dialogue and discussion, your questions, your comments, your input, by dialing 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. And we look forward to your dialogue and discussion today. As we face the issues, let me remind you, it is not a matter of philosophical rhetoric or some denominational dogma or based on some political philosophy. We're basing our decisions, opinions, and thoughts on what the Word of God says. We call it the central biblicist worldview. It's looking at the world through the prism of the Word of God, the Bible. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32, made a powerful comment. If you continue my words, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And then Jesus said in John 14:6, I am truth. And further in John 17:17, the Lord Jesus said, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the word of the Lord, according to Psalms 117, verse 2, that endures forever. So may I commend it to you. It is the truth book, the Bible. I don't know if you're old enough to recall, some of you may be, and I'm still less than 100 years old, but I remember in a Sunday school, in Vacation Bible School, we'd sing that song, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me, the B-I-B-L-E. You don't hear that anymore. In fact, there are a lot of the old songs that had a lot of solid doctrinal, theological, biblical truth that's gone by the wayside. Most of the singing today in most of our churches are the 7-Eleven songs or the 7-49 songs. And if you don't understand that, it's taking seven words and repeating them 11 times with a little higher upbeat with each time you repeat it. And some are the 7-11, some are the 11-49, where you just hear one or two phrases over and over and over and over again with no sound doctrinal biblical truth being espoused in those songs. But that's another story for another day. The point being, ladies and gentlemen, we look at the Scripture and make a determination on what is truth based on what the Word of God says. Truth is something that is not sought for anymore. Truth is laughed at, mocked at, demeaned, dissed, as the world calls it. It goes back to George Orwell, the secularist book, the dystopian novel, 1984, published back in the late 40s. And Orwell said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And he was projecting in his dystopian novel what would take place by 1984. Well, he missed the target date. What he said was on target, but he missed the target date. 1984, we were not quite at that point, though we were increasingly propelled toward that point as to where we are today. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, we find a disdain for truth. The fundamental moral ethical foundation, I call it the warp and the woof, that's the fabric of society, cannot hold together if there's not a basis for truth, and that's the Word of God. And yet we have about 55% of the millennials today, according to the latest report, that says each person determines their own version of truth. And I find that very alarming. I don't know about you. It's alarming, number one, because if that is the case, we'll go back to the days of the judges where every man's doing that which is right in his own eyes. And we see that taking place today with there we have those in Washington, in the Beltway of Washington, Tallahassee, and the Marble Castle here in our own city, where it seems that those that we elect and place in office to lead us have their own idea of what is truth. And as a result of that, it's vacillating, wobbly to say the least, and I believe undermining and destructive for the foundation for our nation. This is the reason I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And that's my mantra. That's my methodology. That is my feeling of where we need to, what we need to do today, is to seek the truth. And you won't find it on the Communist Network News. You'll not find it on MSNBC. You'll not learn it from the politicians. In fact, let me just put in a little pithy foundational side point. We were told for 2.5 years, almost 3 years, that the COVID vaccine was the lifesaver. It would prevent you from getting COVID. It would prevent you from dying from COVID. We're finding now that more people die from the COVID jab than from the COVID virus. I don't know if you heard that or not. It is being discovered more and more today that more people die from the COVID jab than from COVID virus. Now, that's tough to hear if you had the COVID jab. But let me say to you, we have hope in the finished work of Christ on the cross. Our hope is built, as the old song says, on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. But we must face the truth of where we are in our nation today and what we've seen at the hands of our government that's put us in the position that we're in now. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own their own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. They can answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old San Augustine Road, right here in the heart of Mandarin. It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a gigantic benchmark identifier. It's a 165-foot flagpole with the flag, Old Glory, U.S. flag flowing 24/7. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions. House and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly environment that you're working in. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire family of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's word ordained to be so. Drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does, placing in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, lest I forget it. Sometimes I do. That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 831-0917. Love to hear your dialogue and discussion, your input on the subject today. Question is, are we facing a food famine? Are we facing a food famine? Ladies and gentlemen, just a few short months ago, you heard the news about 3 to 4 of our nation's largest meat processing plants suddenly going up in flames. Ladies and gentlemen, it wasn't just 3 or 4. There was literally, one writer put it, about 90 of the food processing plants. And now today we're seeing the egg-producing plants just being absolutely eviscerated, wiped out. Several million chickens were euthanized because of the flu of some type, bird flu or swine, bird flu, I think it was called, that they had taken. As a result of that, governmentally enforced, I believe it was some 100 million chickens were put to death. I'm looking at an article here going back to the meat processing plants because we're watching about a year ago when all of this was in the forefront with the meat processing plants being destroyed. airplane flying into one, airplane flying into another one, one burned down, another one burns down, et cetera, et cetera. Tucker Carlson reports odd coincidence of multiple food processing plants burning down. What's going on here, he says. Something odd appears to be happening across America in the past 6 months. 18 U.S. food processing plants have reportedly burned down. Twitter has questions. This is an old coincidence. This is an odd coincidence, he says, remarked the Wall Street Silver, who posted a collage of headlines from Texas, Nebraska, Oregon, Tennessee, California, and much more, all screaming, fire, fire, fire. Anyone else been following this, Tucker said? The latest fires come on the heels of a warning in late March. Listen, a warning in late March, that's of last year now, where President Joe Biden said that food shortages, quote, are going to be real, end quote, spawning whispers and conspiracies across the social media. Obviously, when something happens even so often, you obviously hope that there is no significant damage and certainly that no one gets hurt, but you kind of write it off. It's not that big of a deal. Accidents happen, you think. But when you get over a dozen of these processing plants and warehouses getting destroyed, seriously damaged and or put out of business, you begin to wonder. When the food supply is already vulnerable, it's obviously going to be suspicious, and it leads to some serious food shortages. That's why some folks are now wondering, well, number one, what's going on? We've got some people speculating that this might be an intentional way to disrupt our nation's food supply, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the question I posed today. Are we facing a food famine? You know, you've heard me talk about it on this broadcast a number of times just a few months back. I hammered on it pretty much every day that we're going to face a food famine, a fuel famine, and a financial famine. And the trilogy of those famines would bring America to our knees. And we're almost at that point today, ladies and gentlemen. Going back to yesteryear, and I'm building on what we see taking place. Have you bought any eggs lately? Chicken eggs, I'm talking about. Across the nation, they say it's ranging between about $3.87, $4, to about $10 a dozen for eggs. Now, most had forgotten about the meat processing plants and the meat distribution centers and how many of those burned or were destroyed by accident, of course, in 2022. Here's an article that says food processing plants burning across the U.S., threatening our meat supply. This is an article headline from just barely a year ago. There's been an outbreak of fires in food processing facilities across the nation, and in the last 6 months, and food prices have been soaring, and supply chains are stressed to their very limits. The fires began showing up regularly in the news after a fire closed the Tyson Food Meat Processing Plant in Kansas. The location was the primary beef processing location for the company and the U.S. food supply chain, providing about 6% of the beef for America. After that fire, analysts began speculating that the impact could drive up the prices of meat on a national level. Just days later, the Pataki meat processing facility burned near Atlanta. The media took notice because the family-owned business is beloved in its community locally, and it produces products that are purchased and shipped nationwide. People are beginning to notice because the fires are threatening an already stressed supply chain of food in America. Ladies and gentlemen, it seems to have been a major rash of that in 2022. Here's another, says smoke and mirrors. What's behind the apparent rash of fires in the U.S. food processing facilities? Is America's food industry being sabotaged? A person asked. By the spring of 2022, the list of fires and other incidents had grown to include more than 90 events. Fires damaged meatpacking plants in Georgia, Illinois, and other states. Millions of chickens and turkeys were destroyed at dozens of farms within a single week. Airplanes crashed into two food-producing facilities, and on and on. and other conspiracy curious sites published stories on the trend. Soon Tucker Carlson was on the case. What's going on here? I read the article just a moment ago. Food processing plants all over the country seem to be catching fire and catching fire and catching fire over and over, he states. Ladies and gentlemen, there's something that's different that's taking place. And yet somehow, some way, the average public's not connected the dots as to what is taking place. Let's just do a little hypothetical. What if the World Economic Forum, what if the UN, what if the globalists and the ones that are wanting to destroy nations' borders, what if they're behind the scene, manipulating it, all under the guise of the need to make changes because of climate control? What if that's possible? I'm looking at an article dated January the 29th, just a few days ago. A massive fire engulfed a large farm, egg farm, on Saturday. A huge blaze likely killed thousands of chickens and is expected to exacerbate the current dilemma of skyrocketing egg prices. About 1 p.m. on Saturday, a three-alarm fire was reported at the Hillsdale Farm property in Connecticut. A total of 21 fire departments responded to the three-alarm fire, and it took firefighters 8 hours to put out the blaze. Norwich firefighter, Local 892, said a two-story, 400-foot by 100-foot chicken coop was on fire. The fire was so large it could be seen for miles away. He said the coop housed an unknown number of chickens. Multiple local reports cited that around 100,000 chickens were killed, and the number has not been confirmed. Because the massive fire at the egg farm was not immediately clear. There have been several other major egg farm fires. Listen, does this sound like a repeat of 2022, but now with egg and chicken farms? There have been several other major fires at egg farms in the past few years. December 2022, a fire caused $12 million in damage and killed a reported 250,000 chickens at a large poultry farm in Pennsylvania. October of 2022, 7,000 chickens were incinerated in a farm fire in Lexington, South Carolina. February 2020, a blaze at the Michael Food Farm killed approximately 400,000 chickens. December of 2020, another 240,000 chickens died when they were burned in a barn in Pasco County, Florida. The fire department at the Calmaine egg-producing farm, which is one of the largest producers and distributors of shell eggs in America, burned to the ground. Ladies and gentlemen, it sells this one that I just spoke of, sells under the brand of Eggland's Best and Land of Lakes eggs. 1.3 million cage-free hens perished in potentially preventable barn fires in just 2020-2022. December, egg prices skyrocketed 60% more than the previous year. In California, the average retail price of eggs went from $2.35 to $7.37. The worst outbreak of avian flu on record has caused eggs and poultry prices to surge astronomically. More than 58 million birds, speaking of chickens, from commercial and backyard flocks have been affected by avian influenza in the past year, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, do you see a pattern? I do. I mean, I'm not a scaremonger. I'm not thinking that somehow, some way, the world is going to come to an end tomorrow. I believe that the rapture of the church is on the very heels of these things that we see taking place. But I'm concerned, based on the authority of Scripture. Ladies and gentlemen, when you look at Revelation, the sixth chapter, that's the, not necessarily the opening, but it's the very beginning point, the opening salvo, as I call it, of some of the major events taking place in the coming tribulation. Now, keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, if you've said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, we won't be here. We, as believers, will not be here. God is going to sovereignly remove us through what is called the rapture of the church. Now, I know there's some that disbelieve in the word rapture, disbelieve that the rapture is not the Bible, it won't take place. That's all right. You can disbelieve it until Jesus comes and see the reality of your disbelief. But ladies and gentlemen, when you look at Revelation, the sixth chapter, some of the things that's going to take place in the early days of the tribulation, let me just read you verse 5 and following in the sixth chapter. And when it opened the third seal, I heard the third beast saying, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balance scales in his hands. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts, four living creatures, the four living beings, say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil." Ladies and gentlemen, we find in the scripture that the early days of the tribulation will bring forth death, destruction, dearth, that is, famine. And I think, ladies and gentlemen, we're seeing, as you would call it, the handwriting on the wall, going back to the statement found in Daniel, the fifth chapter, the handwriting on the wall. I think we see what is taking place. The stage is being set. God is getting the globe ready for the days after the church is raptured out. The stage is being set. The players are being put on the stage. The script is already written. It's called the B-I-B-L-E. We don't have to wonder what's going to happen. All we need to understand is that it's going to happen beyond these things that are so dark, dangerous, devastating, and destructive will take place after the church is raptured out. But ladies and gentlemen, we can see the precursor of that. Just as during the days of the tribulation, there will be major. During the days of the tribulation, there will be major persecution of anybody that's called Christian. If you get saved during the days of the tribulation, you will be persecuted, prosecuted, and put to death. You will not be able to buy, sell, or trade, according to Revelation 13, unless you have the mark of the beast in your hand or the head. Ladies and gentlemen, we've talked about it many times on this broadcast. We're setting the stage for that with the global ID that's being put in place. We're setting the stage for that with the global fiat currency, that is the e-coinage, the e-currency that the Biden administration is going to launch in America. Yes, we will have launched in America by executive order the fiat e-currency in America. It will be like the digital currency. It will be like cryptocurrency. That's the reason the federal government's putting cryptocurrency and the other things of that nature basically out of business, is to set stage for America to wipe out greenbacks, to wipe out all currency and just have it on your handheld device. We're setting the stage for the days of the Antichrist to step on the scene and to rule and to reign globally with an iron fist. And in the early days of the tribulation, there will be famine. And when it talks about for a penny, for a loaf of bread, a penny was about a day's wages then. So the scripture is saying that in the days of the tribulation, it will take a day's wages to buy just bread to eat. I'm talking about the chicken or the eggs or the beef, etc. But now, what we see happening, I believe, is the setting of the stage of that. But ladies and gentlemen, there's some globalists that I believe are behind the scene. I don't believe this is just some kind of a freak accident or a coincidence. I believe it's purposeful. Today's eggs are costing, as I said, between $6 and $10 a dozen today. The growth in the productivity of wheat has been reduced by about 50 to 6% because we're getting wheat internationally, mainly out of the Ukraine. That has ceased now as a result of the Russian war against Ukraine. All across Africa, we're watching crop failure and famine and drought. The question is, could we be today witnessing biblical prophecy come into focus? Could it be that the globalist, the cabal with Bill Gates, are planning to destroy the food source because they plan on feeding us with phony food? Understand what I'm saying? Phony food, man-made food, chemical-based foods. Now, perhaps you say, that's an impossibility. Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Gates is buying up today hundreds of thousands of farmland across the Southeast, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Tennessee, Georgia, South Carolina. Hundreds of thousands of acres. Bill Gates is one of the major shareholders, stockholders, one of the major seed-producing companies in America, Monsanto. Monsanto develops seed today that are hybrid seed. You can't plant them and grow a crop and then take that crop and get the seed and start another crop. The seed's good for one round of growth. Bill Gates has seen to that with the hybrid development over the past 10 to 15 years. Now, here's an article that is fascinating. Bill Gates wants you to avoid eating beef and switch to the synthetic meat so that we can fight climate change. The article states, Gates said he's optimistic that plant-based beef replacement can replace meat for an actual cattle without lab-grown meat taking over the market. While he is advocating for it, he gets that it may not be a step and the single switch, that it will take a process of time, saying to the people, you can't have cows anymore just by one fell swoop, he says, won't work. So could it be, ladies and gentlemen, what we're watching is the destruction of our crops, our chickens, our cows, the beef, etc., to usher in the Bill Gates utopian synthetic foods, because he says that it's the food growth, meat growth, the process destroying planet Earth, and it's making climate change worse. Look at another headline, and then we'll take our caller. Bill Gates thinks we should start eating 100% synthetic beef. Bill Gates believes that the wealthiest countries should switch to eating 100% synthetic beef in order to help combat climate change. Ladies and gentlemen, could it be that the fires that have burned the meat processing plants and now the egg producing plants, could all of this be orchestrated and planned from a globalist standpoint? I think so. I believe we have Tom on the line. Tom, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, I'm very intrigued by your subject matter today, and I think you're right on. I've read some articles on the internet that I trust, and they say these high food prices, Dr. Youngblood, will never come back down because of exactly what you're talking about. That shrimp now, only about 10% of the shrimp you eat come from the ocean. The 90% come, they're raised on farms in China. But what they're saying is China's proved to be a very unreliable partner. You can't trust them. So all the cheap goods from China are going to go away. One reason is they had the one-child policy for 40 years, and now they're selling more Depends than they sell diapers. So there's no young workers coming on. But I think you're right to dismiss Bill Gates and say, oh, I don't know what he's talking about. That's foolish, because Bill Gates is very wealthy. He can buy his way. And whatever Bill Gates wants, he's pretty well going to get. And I don't know if anybody's ate a plant-based Whopper yet, the Impossible Whopper. But, hey, it's not bad, and it's not meat-based. So, Dr. Youngblood, again, I encourage the listeners, you're not going to get this kind of information on CNN or NBC or ABC. That you might want to send in a couple bucks to get the truth. The truth is very valuable. And I just thank you so much for the diligence that you and your wife both put forward. I was amazed at when Dot said just how many thousands of articles you go through in a week. I don't see how you have time to breathe. But thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you so much for your call. God bless you. You're exactly right. I believe we are watching a manipulation of the products in America. We're watching the manipulation by Bill Gates and others in the globalist mindset, and Bill Gates is part and parcel of that mindset. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, Bill Gates owns part of or controls 6 of the 9 major pharmaceutical companies in America. Does that tell you something? Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to continue our thought right after the top of the hour news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
With Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.